Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
It's dark out, I know. What are you gonna do? I'm outside. Apparently I forgot to pay the light bill. Yeah, I'm trying to laugh. They say laughter's the best medicine, right? Okay, death announcements. I'm distracted. I'm upset. This is what happened. There was a couple of older men that had lived in the area, and they disappeared. So we were worried that they got rounded up when they started offering the mental health services, and that maybe they were getting help or something. So where I'm walking right now, the man that I've been searching around, see if I can locate him. Anella, I see you're watching. Our friend, the old man that we haven't seen with the blanket, I was just informed that he was hit by a car right after we saw him, and the car came to a complete stop and crumpled and crushed his body underneath the vehicle. And he did not survive. I just found this out. The other old guy, the one that was harassing you and Ella, he was across the way over by behind the Arco there, up on the hill. He fell from the wall and broke his neck. So he's not with us any longer either. That's two people. Two human beings lost their lives right here, same intersection. I've almost been hit many times in this intersection. So I'm just going to take a moment of silence for both of them.
This is Art Man. Go Art Man.
My name is Art Man, and I know I can't, because I live on a street without a garbage can. Art Man. Oh, Art Man. You think I won't? Believe me, I will. I live on Gibby Hill, and I'm Art Man. Yes, I'm Art Man. I ain't been home since I was 3. My grandma won't even let me. I don't care if I ain't going back home. I'm living on Happy Hill with my sister. I'm the Art Man.
Thank you.
That's Art Man. God bless you, Art Man.
Grandma Mash welcoming you to the September 27th edition of the Without a Radio program. Today's theme, Unhomed, Voices of the Unheard. And it's based on a wonderful panel that was put together for folks that are literally living outdoors to give them a voice. And literally the only people that spoke and answered questions was physically people that understand the problem and are living houseless in extreme poverty. So the whole radio show's around that. I do appreciate you tuning in to listen. If you want to learn more about Without a Roof, best way to do it, Google Without a Roof. We come right to the top. Check out our social media platform. Guillermo Mash here with the September 27th edition of the Without a Roof radio program. And I'm very pleased to have a friend, a colleague, James Lee Clark, a houseless advocate and activist who is just a stalwart in Sacramento city limits and the surrounds. Welcome to KCFR, James Lee Clark.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
We're doing good, man. Now, James Lee Clark, just a little backstory. James, I've known James Lee Clark. Jeez, gosh, James, it's been over 5 years since you and I were sleeping at the City Hall for Occupy Sacramento, man.
Yeah, it's been a while. And, you know, really appreciate your work documenting different situations and helping get the word out about it.
My distinct pleasure. And what we're here to document tonight, there was a wonderful thing that you helped put together with David Andre and someone I haven't met named Sean, but it was called Unhomed Voices of the Unheard. Why don't you give our listeners a little understanding of what that event was all about?
Sean Dillon was the one who did the organizing of it, and he invited a bunch of unhomed individuals to be on a panel and get to speak about what it's like to be homeless, basically giving us a forum. Because there's all these conversations going on about homelessness and solutions and, you know, further criminalization. But the voices of the homeless often still go unheard, except for the few of us that speak at city council, mostly advocates that speak. And, you know, he felt that it was important that the homeless get to speak. So he invited all of our city council members and our county board of supervisors to attend, as well as a lot of different community leaders. And a lot of us showed up. But our city council and the county board, not a single one of them showed up, and only one staff even showed up, and he was on his phone the whole time. And when he wasn't on his phone, he was off in the back talking to somebody that was housed, and, you know.
So you didn't feel like you got the respect you guys deserve for kind of pulling this all together and giving folks an opportunity to hear from people that are experiencing it?
Not from our city, not from our elected officials. They all said they had other priorities, even though they're claiming that homelessness is their top priority. But, you know, mm-hmm. We did get some coverage from Fox 40 and all that. We had about 50 people showed up. So
yeah, how many people experiencing homelessness, houseless folks showed up to speak?
I want to say about 6 or 7.
Nice. Now, it's hard getting up in front of an audience and speaking, man. Not, you know,
yeah.
It's not for everybody.
A lot of people are afraid to. They're afraid of potential retaliation if they say the wrong things, or they're afraid of just even the potential of ridicule, because a lot of people on the streets get looked down on a lot. It takes some courage to get up in front of people and be able to talk when you know that some of those people are potentially going to look down at you.
Maybe just a little thumbnail on what you spoke about. What's on your heart, James Lee Clark?
I pretty much spoke about the different situations that I've experienced, about how, you know, there's not enough adequate shelters for women or children or anybody escaping violence. Police don't respond most of the time when there's violence against the homeless. Even if a woman is raped, they'll just pass it along like, well, whatever. And the fact that there's a hepatitis A epidemic going on throughout California right now, it's already got over 17 people dead, a few hundred people hospitalized. And it's caused by the lack of bathrooms, which we're going through here in Sacramento.
All right. That's the primary way it's passed along is fecal matter.
Then if you're not able to wash your hands after using the restroom or clean yourself up, anything you touch after that, if you're infected, can hold the virus up to 3 months.
So you had a city council meeting tonight. Did you speak tonight? And what were some of the things that were on the agenda about poverty, the worst form of violence?
There was a lot of just like spending money that was actually on the agenda, but there was a large contingent of, I'll say NIMBYs, for lack of a better word, who showed up to speak out against a homeless shelter being put up in one of the districts that would house 150 people through the winter. And in the summer, there would be a separate location that would be set up that would have a 24-hour triage for 200 people. Totally, they're trying to house 300 people through the winter. One of their concerns is somewhat valid. They shouldn't be the only ones to have these shelters. There should be one in every district. But there was a lot of, you know, putting property values first in certain individuals from this group. And it was really, really sad, hard to hear.
What district was it?
District 2. And what I ended up bringing up was we need to have the shelter, you know. For one, it'll take people that are already homeless in that district and get them closer to getting off the street. It'll get them someplace to be at rather than roaming the neighborhood. And then it'll also be a major aid in trying to combat the spread of hepatitis A should it become a major outbreak here. Because if people have a place to be clean and properly use the restroom, then outbreaks like that are caused by the lack of having it are less likely to become endemic.
What's next on the horizon for James Lee Clark and the rest of the folks in Sacramento that are fighting the good fight for folks with little to nothing?
Oh, man, there's a lot going on. Right now, Monday, we're thinking of trying to do a hand sanitizer drive as well as a hand wipe drive to try to help combat the potential spread. You know, it's not as good as actually soap and water, but it's something when you don't have access to a bathroom, at least you can have something to try to, you know, sterilize your hands with.
Well, good luck with that. I really appreciate all the work you do down there, James Lee Clark. You've been out there a warrior for the forgotten for a while now, and it's not forgotten by me and others, man. Thanks so much for all you do.
Hey, no problem. It's an honor to stand up for people, you know. It's something that I wish more people felt compelled to help their fellow humans, but it all comes down to respecting nature and respecting life.
All right, this next segment was filmed and recorded by Eric G. Sr., the one who led the program with that short little piece on, you know, remembering some folks that died on the street. Eric took the time to record a portion of Unhomed, Voices of the Unheard, last weekend. And you're going to hear a radio edit of that right now. And I appreciate all the folks that put that together and the folks that actually spoke on the panel. And enjoy this segment.
Site health and safety is the reason why they criminalize homelessness. And yet, by not having restrooms available to the public in general, whether homeless or not, they are actually putting the public's health and safety at severe risk.
Can we have the mayor's assistant come forward? He's back there talking to people. Yeah. Can you come? We'd like to hear this.
Yes, can we have the mayor's staff please join the discussion and join the group? We kind of invited them to be able to hear what the homeless have to say on these topics.
Hi, everybody. As a local youth, I don't like to, you know, I like to dress decently because that's the only way I can use the restroom. And if I dressed up like I normally do with my heavy backpack and all my stuff, it is hard to use the restroom. I can't do it. As soon as I get in there, I'll walk up to the restroom and they'll automatically, three staff stop me and say, oh, you have to pay for something. Or you have to be a paying customer, or you have to, you know, leave all your stuff outside just so it can get stolen by the time you get done with the restroom. And, you know, I'm a human being. I have to go to the bathroom every so often, just like everyone else does. No one's special. And if you keep taking the restrooms out, I won't be able to do it unless it's on the side of the dumpster. And I have decency. I'm not going to do that because that's just nasty. Okay? That's just disgusting. And, you know, I like to be a human being and use the restroom. But if you keep taking them out and the water fountains, I'm not going to have water or restroom. So, you know, you can try to avoid this little situation all you want, but it comes down to we need restrooms and we need water fountains.
Okay, in terms of using the restroom, and like everybody says, it's a natural... Not right. You have no choice. You have to use the restroom. I got a ticket for using the restroom outside, and I was they obviously was set up so that they waited until after I went to confront me with the ticket, because I wouldn't have used the bathroom outside if I had known they were there. And so, you know, and talking to people, so like, where can I go? I can't go to the park. There's no restroom over there. I can't go where, you know, I have to go. Well, you can't use the bathroom at City Hall. And I said, I don't see why not. And one of the police women said, well, you go to court, go to the meetings, civic council meeting, and let them know that you urinated at City Hall. I said, I will. And what I'll tell them is that I think it's a horrible situation that I was forced to urinate at City Hall because there was no restroom available to me. Thank you.
What I'm going to say real quick is that the homeless community, it's hard to do. It's hard to live life day by day, even second by second. It's depending on if there's space to go anywhere, if there's time to go anywhere, or if you have enough supplies to even sleep anywhere or anything like that. For example, like when I first became homeless, I had to carry almost, I think, 85-pound sleeping bag on my shoulders just to be able to get my house, basically my house on my shoulders from place to place. And I had to go to the hospital over and over several times just because I had to carry my house with myself so I don't lose my property. And it's ridiculous how that, for example, people are in school, they are able to, they may dress nice, but they're able to put their backpack on the side of the street and just sit down and eat their lunch like that. But us, the homeless community, is not able to have even a bag, even if we're not dressed nice, sit on the side of the road and get something to eat, or for example, if somebody's dropping stuff up or off for us or getting picked up. We're not able to do that, but people in the community that are able to go to school and stuff like that are able to do that. Even though I'm homeless and I still go to school, I'm still not able to do that. Even though I'm homeless, or any of us are homeless, we have to live our life to the fullest, be optimistic, look at life where, example, like, any second we could be dead. Any second anything can happen to us. Any second we can have our own house. Any second we can be on the streets again. I'm looking at life right now as in before, when I was in group homes. I had to live my life day by day, living with the people that are harassing me, and depression, anger, anxiety, everything. And I'm still able to live my life day by day and live my life, even though as a homeless person, I'm still able to live my life being optimistic and looking at the bright side of life, even though it's going crappy.
One of the things, like a sales tax, that sounds good on the surface, but what I've seen, and I'm only 54 years old and only been living here my whole life, but what I've seen is that no matter what type of funds are generated, they seem to all get eaten up in the administration. Like, we'll go to city council meetings and they're talking about millions of dollars going to this and going to that, and I'm on the street with all these old sick people and young people, even with families, and there's nothing for them. There's nothing coming down. Nothing comes. It's like a couple weeks ago, I was trying to help a woman who was recently homeless, and I called my navigator. My navigator said he's not allowed to give a number for another navigator. So there's no talk. I mean, what are we paying these guys for? I'm all for a sales tax, yes, but we need to get the people in there to scrutinize that, every nickel and dime, and make sure that it's that the people that are working there are getting paid to a fair salary, that's all proper, that we don't have ghost employees and all these things that just seem to eat up all the money. We need the oversight.
On the surface, I agree with David. On the surface, it sounds great having a half-cent sales tax, but we've got to remember sales tax also affects our poor, because that's something that the poor will end up having to pay out of pocket for. If I were going to go with the tax, I'd say a property tax would be a better way to go about it. That way we're taxing the property owners, the people that have the money, have the ability, and not making it harder on the working poor that are trying to make their purchases and stuff. Because a half a cent doesn't seem like much, but a half a cent, half a cent, half a cent, half a cent over the year, that adds up to quite a bit of money coming out of a poor person's pocket. You know, but when we add that tax to property, especially high-end properties, then we're taking it from the people that have the most so that we can redistribute that wealth to those that have the least. But once again, as David was saying, if we don't deal with the bureaucracy and the high-end costs of executive fees and, you know, administrative fees and promotions and all that extra stuff that this money gets wasted on, then it's not going to end up in the right spots.
Okay, my concern is that I've been with you guys several times when the police have come, and poor David was harassed by them. And there's got to be a better way of communicating with the police department and the homeless population. Not only do I have problems with that, is that I have problems with using the bathroom when I have been out there feeding all day long the homeless, and that is my passion. And then trying to use their bathrooms, and they're telling me I have to spend XYZ there. I come very, very well put together, and I'm very quiet when I do to use the restrooms, and they're still wanting to charge me a fee to use their bathrooms. Well, the way I feel, I have been a working class citizen most of my life. I pay taxes. all those bathrooms that the city council has closed down are my tax dollars that put them in there.
Right.
So why are we not allowed to use our bathrooms that we paid for many years ago? And this is what I have a problem with. Because parks were put there for our use. The drinking fountains were put there for our use. And the homeless population are just my equal.
Yeah, they actually target us. People need to understand that. If you're homeless and you speak out, you're gonna get harassment. If you're a person like me, I sleep in a vehicle. I don't live in the vehicle, I only go in there to sleep. I have a pretty full life here in activism. And I dress well. I'm still harassed. But the main reason I'm harassed is because I'm speaking out at city council. And there's some elements in our police department who don't like that at all.
No.
One of the things that we need to touch on is the fact of the bathrooms in Cesar Chavez Park. Now, we're talking about bathrooms and talking about money, millions of dollars is floating around this city and it's not getting where it's supposed to go. My understanding is that bathroom in Cesar Chavez Park that is now public-private partnership is shut down to the public, that $450,000, I heard, of our tax money was used to subsidize a taco stand directly across the street from one of the better taco stands in town. To put this taco stand, almost $500,000 to put a taco stand in a park? Now, who is this guy? I mean, I'd really like to invite that restaurant owner to some of these things. And let's see if we could talk to him about maybe a plan about us using, maybe a restroom monitor is needed. You know, that could maybe grow his business if he was the first to hire restroom monitors or something. You know, let's work with him because he's got a lot of our money and we're not getting anything. We didn't need another taco stand there in the park. We really didn't.
Gamma Mash, thanking each and every one of you for tuning in to the Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM. Look us up. We're on Facebook. We're on Tumblr. We're on Twitter. And we have a major YouTube presence. Best way to find us? Google Without a Roof. We come right to the top. Like what you heard, and I know you do. Go on out. KZFR.org. Look to the left elevator bar. Look for the tip jar. And give a tip to help support People Powered Radio. Taking you on out with a radio edit for length of the very first journalism piece I did around poverty, the worst form of violence, in Sacramento back in the spring of 2012 at a picnic for the homeless. Tune in next week, and always remember, if you have a roof, be grateful. Discovery Park in Sacramento has an abundance of uses, including boating, fishing, and bicycling. Some even call it their home. Today, Without a Roof is hosting our first picnic with the homeless, providing good food, fellowship, and an opportunity to share their stories. All the fine folks in this video production came forward and requested to be interviewed at our media booth. We had roughly 75 attend our picnic with 9 adults seeking out a way to communicate their experiences and beliefs, all for the betterment of the community at large.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good, and I like it when we had our own bed, different, and when we get our new house, I'm going to be so happy when I have my own room, and I'm going to have just a Bieber room and sticker.
Have kids and want the best for my children, and it's just hard to be in the situation that you are in with no, like, resources or help for single moms who are homeless with their children.
Where did you sleep last night?
We slept in a shelter last night. We've been sleeping in a shelter for about 2 weeks now. Before that, we slept in a motel for a week that was paid for by the St. Francis House.
Mm-hmm. But we're just grateful that to have a place to sleep at night, that, you know, and have food in the morning and get us along the way.
Well, that's just it, you know. You get down and out in life and, it's how you deal with the tough times that will matter how many good times you have after that.
Most memorable thing? I don't know. Probably my friends smile. When I walk up, everybody smiles at me. Kind of memorable. It's kind of this morning, everybody's happy to see me.
This is my dog, Buddy. Oh boy. He's 7 years old. I've been out here for 17 years. How long have you been out here?
Less than a year, about 9 months.
We found the flyer. You know, we're homeless. We thought we'd come over and check it out, you know, because food, you know, is a plus for us when we can get it. You know, she had more struggles out here than I, but I'm here to help her the best I can. You know, when I married her, I said, till death, better for worse, till death do us part. And that's what we've been working on.
And I lost my housing behind a rape. And I went into a hospital. The police did not do a rape kit. They didn't believe me and put me in a mental institution. And I was told while I was in the hospital that my subsidy had been taken. After I left the hospital, I went to Shelter Plus Care and asked them what was going on, you know, to get an explanation of why they had taken my subsidy, and they said that I was no longer in the program and that they weren't going to speak with me.
Yeah, the picnic's nice. It's taking our mind off the situation, getting us out of the shelter.
Just to know that there's other people in your situation.
Got to see all our friends, and you know, everybody really enjoyed themselves. I enjoyed myself. There was a lot of amenities, a lot of good things out of it. People reaching out to you know, those that don't have a lot.
You know, I just want to thank you, man. Thank you for your time, and thank you for the opportunity to share our story. You know, there's more to add. You know, I can sit here and make a movie for you. I can give you an autobiography in about 2 hours, but you know, you don't have that kind of time. You know, I've been sexually abused as a child, raised in an alcoholic family. I turned to drugs. You know, now drugs is not an option for me.
It's a nice little affair, and we got some things that will really help us out. And
our new house, we have 2 bedrooms. Me and my sister are going to sleep in different rooms. And, like, same rooms, and we have a different bed. I'm going to pick Justin Bieber, she's going to pick Dora and Princess, and then they're going to have their own room and their own bed, and my name is Olivia.
And just like everybody, you know, regardless of the situation that you're in, you know, you have to be happy. Like, there's people that's happy, you know, like, they have nothing, but they're happy, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Mommy, don't cry.
It's hard.
If you get the opportunity to do something different, to better yourself, take a chance at it, you know? All you can do is try.
Pray that God works this thing out for us, you know, because we definitely can't do it by ourselves. Left up to our own devices, we'll mess it up.
Just got back. I broke my arm.
Go off that bridge right there.
Not that bridge.
Not that bridge. Not the Green Bridge? Oh, yeah. In Oregon. Okay.
Yeah. So it cost me a lot of money. They airlifted me in a helicopter. I had my own VIP room. I had my own DVD player, TV, all that.
Well, we're talking about homelessness.
I couldn't get out of bed, though. Well, yeah, I am being homeless. This I've talked about. This part of being homeless. We get injured every day.
We share and get along. Try to get along. It's not all peas and carrots all the time. I mean, there's a little bit of sauerkraut in there every now and again, but
it's kind of memorable. I'll remember this picnic. It's really kind. It's just nice.
Join Without a Roof and many others throughout our community for Friends of the Poor Walk, where every mile counts. Registration 9 a.m. Walk begins at 10 a.m. and that will be on Saturday the 30th. The starting location is St. John's Catholic Church, 435 Chestnut Street. And the walk is a 1 mile loop around downtown, bringing awareness of the needy families requiring assistance to keep them in their homes. Entrance fee is a donation to benefit St. Vincent de Paul of Chico. T-shirts are $10. Refreshments will be served afterwards. Any more information regarding this can be found at fopwalk.org and at 530-680-7917.